Hello, welcome to the most dangerous podcast. How are you, James?
Hey, I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm okay. I was okay, and then 2 days ago I got a letter from His Majesty's Revenue and Customs.
Oh, they're fun, aren't they?
Yeah. Now, we've talked about this in the past. I closed down my old business and started doing something my own, and so I'm used to getting letters from the revenue about the old business. But the new business, this had my new company's name on it. And I'm going, this is weird.
So you already owe us money, even though you've not done any business yet.
Absolutely. So I opened the letter and it says, your VAT return is overdue and you must pay us the sum of £5,560 immediately. Right? And I'm reading through it and it's saying, right, we've already added 40 odd quid's worth of interest. You've got 7 days to pay this, blah, blah, blah. So the first thing that happened was my arse collapsed and I thought, shit. Then I thought about it and I've got an accountant's background and I thought, this is weird because I haven't done a VAT return yet. I've only just recently registered for VAT.
Exactly. It's impossible. You can't possibly owe that money.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could, but because I haven't done a VAT return since I started the company, I've never actually submitted any figures to them. So how have they come up with this figure that I owe them?
So you spent an hour and a half on hold waiting to speak to them, I imagine.
Exactly. It was an hour and 17 minutes, right? And I got this guy and I said, right, I said, I've had this letter. I said, I don't owe you this. Before I made the phone call, I'd ran my VAT return up until the point of this letter and they actually owed me £1,900. But here's the thing, right? So I said to the guy, this is the guy at revenue. I said, how have you come up with that figure? And he started, oh, well, you see, I mean, what we do is it's actually like an industry. I said, you've just made it up, haven't you? I said, because you have no idea. I could have sold £100 in the last 6 months. I could have sold £100 million in the last 6 months. You've just made up that figure of £5,560, haven't you? And he's like, well, basically, yeah.
Wow. Exposed. Anyway, like, yeah, that's a boring middle-aged old man thing to talk about. Let's get more positive. It's Easter. Happy Easter.
Yes, happy Easter. So it will be Easter Sunday when this goes out.
It will be. Yeah, it's Good Friday as of now, mm-hmm. The day of recording. So I'd just like to give a big shout-out to our good friend Judas. Because if it wasn't for Judas shouting out, you know, calling out his mate, we wouldn't have this wonderful long bank holiday.
True, so, yes. Yeah.
Nice one, Judas.
But Judas kind of, I mean, Jesus became immortal because of it, didn't he? You know, he killed him and he got up again a couple of days later and became this immortal soul, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he did him a favour.
Kind of.
Happy Easter, everyone. Enjoy your eggs.
So what are we doing today?
I've got a tale for you this week because it's my turn. But first of all, we need to do dangerous news.
So yes, dangerous news this week, Fraser. We've got a couple of stories that have been well researched, and I'll go through them for you.
Excellent.
Okay, so the first one. This is about a picnic area in Arizona. So a picnic area at the tourist attraction in Arizona has been closed recently because of the presence of a pungent plant called stinknet. It smells as lovely as it sounds, apparently. Officials at Casa Grande Ruins National Monument announced on Wednesday the area will be shut until 30th of April due to the density of the invasive and noxious winter weed. Ew. Stinknet has a pretty yellow blossom and it's on a narrow green stem. It can grow to more than 2 foot tall, but it has a potent smell similar to nail polish remover or burnt rubber.
Oh, that's not too. I don't mind nail polish remover.
Yeah, burnt rubber is a bit grim. So apparently this picnic area, there's been loads of these plants, this weed has just sort of sprouted up and like lots of it. And because it smells so bad, they've had to close it.
I can ask, is the smell dangerous? Because, I mean, surely they don't need to close it. Can they not just say to people, you can still use it, but it stinks?
Well, the plant itself can cause serious breathing problems, as well as severe skin rashes. This is according to the University of Arizona. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it can be not dangerous per se, but pretty irritating.
Best to stay away.
Yeah, yeah. Officials at the attraction in Coolidge are asking visitors not to walk or step near the flowering weed to avoid spreading it. They said that staff are working on a solution to get the picnic area reopened as soon as possible, but it may take until the 1st of May.
Is it a protected plant? Can they not just kill it all? Oh.
Listen, mate, this is just news. I don't go into too much depth in this. I'm just telling you how it is.
There's a curry plant at Chester Zoo by the butterfly enclosure.
Oh, yeah.
Walk past it, it really smells like curry. It makes me hungry.
So, yeah, so that's a stinky plant in an Arizonan picnic area. So don't go there.
Yeah.
Well, you can't because it's closed. second on the list today, an alligator twice the size of a man, which he kept in a home since the 1990s, has been seized by authorities in New York. But the owner vowed to fight for its return.
What, to get it back?
That's right, yeah. So environmental officers seized the 11-foot-long alligator called Albert from a home in Hamburg, south of Buffalo. This is where they found the 30-year-old gator. According to the State Department of Environmental Conservation, the homeowner allowed people, including children, to get into the water with the reptile, which had blindness in both eyes and spinal complications. So just to give you some context here, so this guy... he had an alligator since the 90s. It grew huge. He had a swimming pool in the back garden, and the alligator sort of lived in the swimming pool. And he'd get his neighbours over to come and swim with the alligator. And the owner's license, so the chap who owned the alligator, to keep the animal, expired in 2021. So he'd been keeping it illegally. Officers took action on Wednesday after learning the extent at which the owner was seriously endangering the public.
Bloody hell. But what got me there is you said he actually had a license to own it. I mean, how fucking mental is America that you can have a license to have a pet alligator?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess. No. They used to do that here, though, didn't they? Like, in the 60s and stuff, you could own big cats and things like that.
Yeah,
and that's why they think there's sort of big cats roaming around the moors, because it's just people have gone, oh, get rid of them.
Let the panther out the back door. I see these people that keep big cats, and they say, oh, I've raised them from a kitten, and they know me and all this. Now, I've raised my cat from a kitten, and he's lovely, and he loves a cuddle, and he loves a stroke and stuff, but occasionally he bites me.
Well, that's it, yeah. That's just animal instinct, isn't it? It could be playing as well, like sometimes animals.
Sometimes it's playing. Sometimes I've stuck my toe out the edge of the covers and, you know, he just bites it during the night. And I think, well, these lions, tigers and stuff that people are keeping, they, you know, they only need to bite you once.
That's it. And he's throwing kids in the pool with this one. I mean, it's blind, yeah, fair enough, yeah. But still, that's one false move. So the chap's called Tony Carvelio. And he said that he does vow to fight on and get the alligator back. He's not dangerous, apparently.
Right.
But it's an alligator, so...
This is a bit dangerous.
It's debatable.
Mm-hmm.
and finally, this week, Indian YouTuber Elvish Yadav...
Mm-hmm.
Say that again. Elvish Yadav has been arrested for allegedly supplying snake venom to be used as a recreate... Indian YouTuber Elvish Yadav has been arrested for allegedly supplying snake venom to be used as a recreational drug at raves.
Bloody hell. What does it do?
I don't know. So the influencer, who has 15 million YouTube subscribers, was detained under the Wildlife Act. This is according to Indian broadcaster NDTV. Mm-hmm. A party he was at in November was raided on the suspicion that snake venom was being used as a drug by partygoers. Police launched an investigation and questioned five people on suspicion of snake smuggling, and they named Yadav as the alleged organizer of the parties and the supplier.
Oh dear.
Yadav, who won the Indian version of Big Brother, it's called Big Boss OTT, denied all charges, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say he would fully cooperate with the police. 9 snakes, including cobras, were recovered from the party, along with 20 milliliters of snake venom. According to 2022 research the Journal of Forensic and Legal Medicine, there have been concerns about the use of snake venom as a drug. And use of snake venom can often be seen at rave parties.
Wow.
So this is new to me. I'm not in with the drug culture, but snake venom, I can't possibly see how that would provide any benefits of any description, really.
No, I mean, it's not. I mean, anything I've ever read about snakes, they paralyze and they cause like
seizures.
Neurotoxins, aren't they, and stuff like that. And you don't often see someone getting bitten by a snake and then fucking off and dancing for a couple hours, you know?
Well, yeah. Otherwise, everyone would be doing it, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah.
Have your own snake.
Has he not got it confused with that drink, snake bite?
Well, maybe. No, surely not. No, because it says, doesn't it, 20 milliliters of snake venom. And cobra. So he's taking the cobra to the party. Just in case he runs out.
Just walking about, shifty, with a couple of cobras hanging over his arm. Yeah. You want a bit?
Is that a cobra in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me?
I'm just sure someone's... I'll organise the rave, you get the snake bite in, and he's got confused.
Yeah, gone and
got a load of cobras instead of a couple of bottles of snake bite.
Was that an energy drink, or was it a...
Snake bite. Do you know what I think it's from? It's... do you remember the film The Beach?
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the start, they said... He's out in like Bangkok or something. They said, "Do you want snake bite?" And it's this like shot that he drinks.
Oh, I see. So it's maybe it was snake venom.
Who knows? It was. Yeah.
There we go. So yeah, that's the news for this week. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks, James.
So Fraser, it's your night. It's the night where I get to kick back and listen to your tale. So
you wouldn't want to listen to this.
Go on then. Tell us what you've got.
Well, James, you know how we have to look for stories? And you mentioned, I said last week, how do you come up with this stuff? And you said you just spend too much time looking on YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This story found me. And I don't know if it's because I was doing a lot of research about the Medusa that we did last week. But this is also based around... France in the late 1700s, and I was scrolling through Facebook, and one of those kind of, you think it's just a clickbait story, and I clicked on it and I started reading, and I went, wow, this is ace. I've got to do a podcast on this guy.
Okay, right, so yeah. France again. Are we talking recent history, you know, or are we back in the 1800s, or
we're talking back in the late 1700s? I'm going to take you back to Lyon in 1772, when a small boy, only known as Terrar, was born.
Terrar. Terrar.
So it's T-A-R-R-A-R-E, Terrar. And I've watched quite a few videos on it, and people pronounce it different ways, but that seems to be the most common, Terrar.
Got you.
So this is late 1700s in France, so 50 years before the Medusa that we talked about.
Yes.
So Terrar, as a child, even from a very young age, had a ridiculously huge appetite. His parents couldn't feed him enough. He was always hungry, always eating, but never seemed to gain any weight.
Oh, okay. Well, see, we've both got children, and both of my girls... seem to have ridiculously large appetites.
True, so, yes. Yeah.
You know, it might not be that unusual because we get eaten out of house and home on a regular basis.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we use a loaf of bread every day.
And you've got more kids than me. I'd say every other day for us.
Yeah, I've got too many kids. And like a six-pack of crisps and stuff every day.
Oh, never see them. If I get something from... like something nice, you know, like maybe like, I don't know, there's Walker's selections.
Yeah.
The crisps, the chili, sweet chili ones. I like them.
Oh, yeah.
Like I get a big bag of them. I have to hide them.
Oh yeah, I have to put stuff in the wardrobe in my bedroom. That's like if anyone opened my wardrobe, they think I had an eating disorder. It's all like snacks and stuff like that. It's just so the kids don't get them.
Yeah, likewise, yeah.
So Tarar, so he was basically a child that just they couldn't fill him up. He just kept eating and eating and eating. But he never got fat, you know, it just seemed to just pass through him. By the time he was a young teenager, he could actually eat a quarter of a bullock. So a cow.
A quarter. It's hard to put that into context though, isn't it?
So basically he could eat his body weight in a single serving.
Wow, that's pretty good. Right. But when you say like a quarter of a cow, I can't really picture like
front quarter, back quarter. I've always wondered that. See, like Nando's, you can get a quarter of a chicken. You think, what bit do you get?
It's like a leg.
A leg and an arse. So by his early teens, basically, he was eating his parents out of house and home, like you said, and they asked him to leave. They forced him out because they said, you're eating too much, nothing we can do. We can't keep feeding you. Off you fuck.
Really? How old was he when he was kicked out? Does it say?
Early teens, so you're talking maybe 13, 14.
Fat shaming. Fuck off you.
Yeah. But he wasn't fat, he just kept eating. All he could do is he found a group of a band of thieves and prostitutes that he hung about with and
which he ate.
Yeah, he just wandered about and you know, helped them steal, and he was begging for food. And eventually, someone saw the way he could eat, and they employed him as a warm-up act to a traveling charlatan.
Right. So this is like you used to get these shows, like freak shows.
Yeah,
didn't
freak
you?
Shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So this traveling charlatan basically employed him to warm up the crowd. And some of his act was eating corks, stones, and live animals.
Bloody
and one of his party tricks, he could open his jaw so wide. Have you ever seen someone do it with a pint, where they kind of open their throat and pour a whole pint down?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, he could do that with a basket of apples.
Wow. So my next girlfriend could do that. Not with apples, with a pint.
Wow. The only person that... I remember a big Gav that we used to know. I remember him doing it with a pint.
Oh, with a pint, yeah.
Just open his throat. And but apparently this Tarar's jaw could open 4 inches and he could actually pour apples and they went right down his throat into his stomach.
Good Lord.
He just says he ate ravenously and was particularly fond of snake meat.
Snake venom. Yeah. He wasn't getting high on snake venom, no.
He wasn't, no, just the meat. The venom he sent to raves and stuff. So eventually by 1788, he moved to Paris to work as a street performer. And he was generally quite successful until one act went wrong and he suffered a severe intestinal obstruction. And members of the crowd actually had to carry him to the hospital where he was treated with powerful laxatives to try and flush through all the things he'd been eating.
Oh, God. Like a shopping trolley.
Yeah.
A hammer.
And apparently, he made a full recovery. The doctor that helped him to recover, he offered the doctor to demonstrate his act by eating his watch and chain and passing it through him.
In the hospital, though.
In the hospital, like,
That's ridiculous.
Watch what I can do.
The doctor's there going, have you not learned your lesson? Come on. You've just been in surgery. And now, you know.
Apparently, the doctor was unimpressed by this and warned him that if he did eat his watch, he would cut him open to recover it.
Jeez, I just got this vision of this doctor just like that, like stony faced. Yeah. What on earth are you doing?
Have you not learned? So by now he's 17. It describes his appearance and behaviour. It says, despite his unusual diet, he was a slim and of average height, and at the age of 17, he weighed only 100 pounds, which is 7 stone 2 pound.
That's tiny, though. That's tiny, really
yeah,
small.
Because I'm 200 pounds.
Yeah, I don't do pounds. I reckon I'm about I don't even know. Not even weighed myself. What's average?
Well, yeah. I'm 14 stones, 200 pounds. Average is probably about 12 stone.
Yeah, I'm a bit more than that, I think. But yeah. Average. I mean, seven stone for a grown man, though. That's unhealthy, isn't it?
Well, it is. And especially given that he's just eating and eating and eating and eating.
Yeah.
And as I've mentioned before, he had an abnormally wide mouth. His teeth were heavily stained and his lips were almost invisible.
Well, they had no colour? Or...
Just very thin-lipped and no colour. Right. He just had like a big gaping mouth. apparently, when he hadn't eaten, his skin hung so loose he could wrap the folds of his skin around his abdomen and his waist. But when he was eating, it would actually swell up like a huge balloon, like a 8-9 month pregnant woman.
That's really strange. So he, even though he didn't have weight, his skin, so like it's kind of he had weight and lost weight.
Yeah, so the food just went through him. So he could eat a load of food, his stomach would all swell up, and then the next day he'd have a great big shit and it would all just be gone again. He didn't retain weight, so it was like he wasn't, the food was just passing through him. He was just a vessel. He wasn't digesting the food and...
So it was stretching his skin. A bit like when a trumpet player with the cheeks.
Yeah.
Kind of stretch.
Well, yeah, it says the skin of his cheeks were wrinkled and hung loosely, and when stretched out, he could hold 12 eggs or apples in his mouth like a hamster.
See, this doesn't make any sense. If he's bloating and I don't know, just weird. Like his face, I gotta get his belly and stuff.
Yeah.
His face.
Maybe he was just stuffing so much food in his mouth, it was just starting to stretch it.
Yeah, that's good point.
One of his symptoms was his body was actually always hot to touch and he regularly sweated heavily. But something that a lot of people that have sort of written about him said that he had a really, really foul body odour. And he was described to be stinking to such a degree that he couldn't be endured within a distance of 20 paces.
Jesus Christ. something going on here, isn't there?
Like, yeah.
Some sort of medical, well, definitely some sort of medical issue.
Definitely something up with him. The smell became notably worse after he'd eaten, and his eyes and cheeks became bloodshot. And a visible vapour rose from his body, and it became lethargic, during which time he belched noisily and his jaws made swallowing notions.
No, it didn't. I'm not having that.
You know, like a cartoon with stink lines.
Yeah. Sitting there farting and burping. It's just like yellow smoke coming up. No.
This guy is real, though.
I believe the guy's real. I'm not buying that.
The story came up on... It was on Facebook, and it was, like I said, it was like a clickbait story. And I've done research into it, and he existed. You know, there's a Wikipedia page about him and everything. I think, you know, stories grow legs, don't they? You know, and stories.
Yeah, urban myths and stuff.
Lot of this is documented and true.
I believe it. I'm not having the vapor. I mean, he probably did stink, but so did everyone back then.
Maybe it was that hot and that sweaty that steam rose from him. You know, you've seen like footballers on a cold day, you see steam coming off their bodies.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And then they just attribute that to the smell.
Well, if it's stinky steam, then it's, you know, it's a smelly vapour, isn't it? Unsurprisingly, he had chronic diarrhea, which was said to be fetid beyond all conception. despite his large intake of food, he very, very rarely vomited or ever gained weight. And aside from his eating habits, his contemporaries saw no apparent signs of mental illness or unusual behaviour in him, other than apathetic temperament with a complete lack of force and ideas.
See, I would beg to differ there, because eating a basket of apples in one go does scream mental health issues to me.
It does.
You know, eating as much as you possibly can. It's kind of like makes you go, yeah, there might be a bit of a mental problem.
Well, I have to think that this guy, obviously, if this guy's getting nothing from food or very, very little from food, that it's got to drive you mental, that you can't ever... He's always hungry, permanently, 24-7. Yeah. He's permanently starving. Because his body's, like, starving but no matter how much food he puts in, he can't get rid of that. That's got to be...
just never scratches that itch.
Yeah. So on the outbreak of the war of the First Coalition in France, Terrard joined the French Revolutionary Army. But they couldn't cope with him because the military rations were insufficient to satisfy his appetites.
And he stank as well.
He stank, yeah. So he basically carried out tasks for other soldiers in return for a share of their rations. And he actually scavenged on the dung heap for scraps. But it still wasn't enough to satisfy him.
Good Lord.
They admitted him to a military hospital with a case of extreme exhaustion. And they had to grant him quadruple rations, but he still remained hungry. So he scavenged for garbage in gutters and refuse containers and ate the scraps of food left behind by other patients.
This is really sad because it's not like at the beginning when he said he joined the sort of traveling circus freak show type thing, and then he was doing it as a performer in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
It made it sound like he was doing it because he could.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, look how much I can eat. Look at all this like I can consume.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this now, what you're saying makes it...
that's like out of hand, doesn't it?
It makes you realise that actually the guy's like really hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for some reason, it's just really bizarre. Yeah, it's kind of...
torture, constant torture.
Yeah.
He even went into the apothecary room and ate all the poultices.
What are those?
Poultices were like kind of like bandages with medication in them for like sores and stuff like that.
Why? Why though? Surely like that's got no substance to it though, has it? It's not
just anything. Just fill yourself up.
I don't know. That's really sad.
Have you ever seen the film Alive? The airplane one?
A long time ago. Yeah,
and they eventually find a suitcase and a guy finds a tube of toothpaste and just eats the whole tube of toothpaste because it's near to food. It's like...
yeah, that's not the worst bit of that film though, is it?
No. They eat the guy's arse cheeks, don't they?
Yeah.
But if you were to eat a human, the bum cheek would be like the prime cut, wouldn't it? It's like the...
wouldn't that be all fatty?
Depends if you were quite
fit. I'd go
fit
for the heart.
Yeah, the heart.
Straight for the heart.
Straight to the arse.
Sorry, that episode of Bottom, where like the gas man comes round and then they think they've killed him. And so they're like, oh, we could eat him. And then they got the fork. All right, so where should we start? Like straight in the bollocks.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I bet there's probably a lot of goodness in a pair of bollocks. Yeah, so basically he was ordered to remain in the hospital to take part in psychological experiments to see if they could just try and get to the bottom of it, because I think they started to think it was a psychological thing. So they decided one day to test his capacity for food. And he actually ate a meal that had been prepared for 15 labourers. And they had to basically restrain him in the presence of food because he just ate everything.
Do you know, like the modern day, he would make millions on YouTube, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He, because I watch these YouTube channels with like big eaters and stuff, and they do like food challenges.
Yeah.
He'd be a multimillionaire, this guy.
Traveling the world, wouldn't he? And they probably nowadays they'd probably be able to give him like supplement injections and stuff like that to keep his body in better shape, you know.
Yeah.
Probably put vitamins right into his blood and stuff like that to, because obviously this guy's like malnourished.
It's so weird, isn't it?
It is.
Is it like he's probably going to come onto this? But it's surely some sort of medical condition, right?
I'll be honest, I'll tell you now, they never really get to the bottom of it. They think there's a couple of theories. One of them is, you know, when people have like an overactive thyroid, where they can eat loads of food and never really put on weight and stuff like that, they think they add that to the extreme. That's the kind of one of the theories.
But even so though, I mean, this is another level of like, this is almost paranormal-esque.
It is. There's only been one other case of someone like this.
Right.
And it wasn't as extreme as this. It was a Polish guy that, on one occasion, he ate another sailor's legs. while he was asleep. Oh, shit.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
It's just a dream. but that was the only... And it was a similar time. I think it was like a few years later, the Polish guy.
Wow.
This guy was the first... So the 15 labourers' meals, he actually ate a meal of 2 large meat pies, plates of grease and salt, 4 gallons of milk, and eventually he fell asleep.
With a massive fart, like...
Yeah. They noticed that, like, his belly became taut and inflated like a large balloon. On another occasion, they presented him with a live cat. He tore the cat's abdomen open with his teeth, drank its blood, and proceeded to eat the entire cat, aside from its bones, before vomiting
what? Up... What? What?
Before vomiting up its foreign skin.
What? Why did they do that? And why did he do that? What?
I don't know.
What's going on? Right, he's hungry, fair dude. He's like, but... He's like an animal. What's... Can you... It's like, you know... can you eat this?
I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
there or like what?
I think they just wanted to see how far he would take it, you know. So during the experiments, they offered him a variety of other animals, including snakes, lizards, and puppies, all of which were eaten. He also swallowed an entire eel without chewing it.
I mean, this guy though, like, did he not say like? I'm struggling to get this.
I think the thing
he
is,
he must have like been able to speak and stuff, right? He's just not.
Oh yeah,
not,
yeah.
Like, he could do you speak. Not go like, well, I am hungry, but I'm not eating a live cat. I'm all right for that.
One of the problems is because of his condition, he was constantly starving, starving. So
yeah, I know, but he's in a position where he can go like. I will eat it, but can you cook it? You know, there's facilities available. Like, you know, yeah, I'm really hungry. I'm starving. You presented me with a live cat. Can you do me a favor and just boil it or something, or skin it and cook the meat? Because I don't really want to chomp its belly open with my teeth. I just don't understand like how that's come about.
I don't know. I think, like I said, I think they were possibly just seeing how far he would take it.
Just testing him.
Yeah. Let's do this. Chuck a cat in, see what he does. So they experimented on him for a couple of months, and eventually the military called the hospital and they're like, look, you know, he's a soldier. We need him back. And they negotiated that he wouldn't really be able to fight as a soldier, but they could use his unusual abilities for other reasons, and they decided that they could use him to sneak documents behind enemy lines.
Up his arse. Right, okay.
No, not up his arse. back his out his arse.
Yeah, on his belly, yeah. All right.
Yeah, so they were getting documents, putting them in kind of vessels, tubes and stuff. His job was to swallow them, get behind enemy lines, chip them back out and deliver them to the recipient.
Not a bad idea, actually, to be fair.
It's not a bad idea. The only problem was that he did it a couple of times, but there was one occasion where he didn't speak any German or anything like that. He only spoke French. So he was quite quickly the Germans worked out that he wasn't who he said he was, that he was a spy.
Yeah.
So he was caught. But on the first couple of times that he did it and he was successful, he was rewarded with a wheelbarrow filled with 30 pounds of raw bull's lungs and liver, which he immediately ate in front of the generals.
God. Oh my God.
So the time he was caught, he crossed the Prussian lines under the cover of darkness, disguised as a German peasant. But because he was unable to speak German, he attracted the attention of local residents who alerted the authorities, and he was captured. obviously, I strip search, found nothing suspicious, and despite being whipped by the soldiers, he refused to betray his mission. Eventually, they brought him before the commander, and again, he refused to talk and was imprisoned. Yeah, so they prisoned him, and after 30 hours of being in captivity, eventually the wooden box that had the documents in emerged from his arse. And the documents were actually just a message that they were trying to get to another guy that had been captured. So the Germans, they were a bit sort of disappointed. They thought it was real, like, secret documents, but it was just
feed this guy anything. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy will eat everything. So they decided to basically give him a severe beating, and they released him back near the French lines.
Yeah, really? That's not bad, is it?
Yeah, so they just...
Bit of a beating. Off you go.
Get out of him.
Won't do it again.
Can you beat someone with floppy skin? It would just, your hand would just sink.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, beat them with floppy skin.
No.
If the person has floppy skin.
Yeah, your hand would just sink into them. Yeah. Especially you could kick his head, couldn't you?
He'd probably eat you.
So following that, he was just basically returned to the military hospital because they were like, look, we can't use this guy. Just
this guy's literally useless.
So the doctor just they thought, right, we're gonna have to try and find a cure for this. So they treated him with all sorts of stuff. It doesn't say how they treated him, but they treated him with white wine vinegar, tobacco pills, large quantities of soft boiled eggs,
And lasagna.
And lasagna, yeah. I suppose tobacco, I mean, smoking stops your appetite, doesn't it?
Yeah, it subdues your appetite, I suppose. Yeah. Logic there.
I don't know what the large quantities of soft boiled eggs would do, but they just, you know, all efforts failed to suppress his appetite.
Well, if he stank before the large quantities of boiled eggs,
yeah,
I can't imagine the stench afterwards.
Yeah, it's not really. Do you remember my dad when he used to eat the pickled eggs?
Oh yeah, nice pickled eggs. Yeah.
That caravan outside the pub in Salatin.
Salatin, yeah.
Yeah, he drank all the Banksy's bitter and ate a load of pickled eggs. I woke up in the morning and thought someone had shit the bed.
The wallpaper peeling off the walls.
So yeah, any efforts to keep him on any kind of controlled diet failed. So he would sneak out of the hospital to scavenge for offal outside butcher shops and fight stray dogs to get any food they had.
Them.
I think he did. I think he probably did.
Probably did. Yeah, I reckon.
He's not going to beat the dog and then eat the little bit of scraps the dog's got. Yeah,
pedigreed chum on the side. Love that, mate.
Yeah. So he was often found in alleys and rubbish heaps and stuff like that. He was caught several times within the hospital drinking from patients undergoing bloodletting. So as they were getting blood drained or put into them, he was basically stealing it and drinking the blood.
Oh, and, he was like under the bed with the drip going directly into his mouth.
Yeah.
Like a dripping straw, yeah. Jeez.
He was also frequently found in the morgue trying to eat the bodies.
Oh, God. This is horrendous. Like, this is really... It's tragic, but I don't know. Like, it's horrible as well.
It's bad, isn't it? So they basically pressed for him to be transferred to a lunatic asylum where I suppose then he could be properly restrained and kept in a padded room or whatever. Yeah. But one doctor was keen to continue the experiments just to try and get to the bottom of it. So he remained in the military hospital. But after some time, a 14-month-old child disappeared from the hospital. And Terrar was immediately suspected of having consumed the toddler.
No way.
Yep.
And
after that point, basically the last doctor was unable or unwilling to defend him, and they chased him from the hospital, to which he never returned.
So, did he do it?
Well, I think I've read other reports on it. Some sound made up, where people have just added story to it. But basically, the story is there was a toddler that disappeared.
Right.
And
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, yeah, all right. He did eat a lot of shit, random stuff.
Would he?
You wouldn't put it past him. You know, you definitely. But if you can't really say, if there's not really enough evidence to just kind of go, well,
yeah,
100% without, you know,
yeah. It's. I would say, yeah, he probably ate the kid, but you can't say he definitely did.
Probably did though.
So yeah, so they chased it, but this is like the 1700s. I mean, if you're suspected of eating a toddler nowadays, you generally would get arrested. But back then, they chased him from the hospital.
Arrested, you'd get put in a small room for the rest of your life, and you'd get looked at through a little circular window for, you know, the rest of time if you ate a child.
Whereas he was like, I think you've eaten a child. Go, we don't want you anymore.
Yeah, weird. Go away.
That's a step too far, eating that.
Yeah, the cat. Yeah, we can handle the cat, but you know, children not acceptable. Yeah.
So he wasn't seen for 4 years. But 4 years later, another hospital contacted Percy, who was the doctor that was dealing with him, the military hospital, to notify him that a patient of theirs wished to see him, and it was Terrar. By this point, he was now bedridden and weak. And he told the doctor that he'd swallowed a golden fork 2 years earlier, and he believed it was lodged inside him and causing his weakness. And he hoped that the doctor could find a way to remove it. But the doctor realised that he actually had advanced tuberculosis.
Oh, right.
A month later, he began to experience continuous diarrhoea, and he died shortly afterwards at the age of 26.
Is that all? Yeah. Well, this has happened in such a short space of time. That's really sad.
His corpse rotted abnormally quickly. The surgeons, they refused to dissect it any further. But the... Percy. The surgeons refused to dissect it any further because it was just rotting and it was stinking. But Percy was determined to try and find out what went wrong with him. He was determined to find out, you know, what was his issue.
Yeah.
And also that he believed that there was a gold fork inside him.
Having that, mate.
Yeah. He wanted the gold fork. when he dissected him, they found that his gullet was abnormally wide. That's why he could get so much food down there.
Yeah.
And his body was found to be full of pus. His liver and gallbladder were abnormally large. Most of his other organs were just rotten away to mush. And his stomach was enormous. It was just most of his whole abdomen was just this big, empty stomach.
Yeah, so but I mean, that's a byproduct of the conditions and the circumstances that he's gone through.
Yeah,
since just he was 17 or whatever. Like, you know,
stretched, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that makes sense. It just doesn't go... can't explain why he was like that.
Yeah. And the last note is, no golden fork was ever found.
Oh, no.
So that's the sad tale of Terrar. And like you said, when I first started reading about it, I thought, God, what a fucking nutcase. And then the more I read, I just felt really sad for this guy. This guy spent, like, most of his life starving. Now, people that starve to death, or they get help and they eat again. But this guy, like, he had an abundance of food, but it still couldn't satisfy him.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Right. So if you're starving, you're starving because there's no food, right?
That's it.
You
know, yeah.
You've got no access to it. Nobody's got any access to it.
Mm-hmm.
If this guy, as you say, if he was starving, if that's how his body or his brain or whatever was conditioning, saying to him, oh, you're starving, you need to eat.
Yeah.
It must have been so infuriating, or just so, his head just must have been in such a mess, because there's an abundance of food available there. Anything that you want, potentially. I mean, obviously France at that time, perhaps not, but there is food available to satisfy your hunger needs. But his body just wouldn't accept it. It's very... It is sad.
Even if there wasn't nice prepared food, I mean, he was out on the streets eating cats and birds and anything he could get his hands on still didn't satisfy him.
Yeah.
It makes me think, could you imagine, the only thing I can think is imagine being stuck on a rowing boat in the middle of the ocean and dying of thirst.
Well, exactly, yeah. The water everywhere, but not a drop to drink.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, but I mean, like, even so, right, even so, I do get it, but like, you've got some, you know, you were talking about Alive, the film before, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched it years and years ago and it's horrible. But even at that, when the decision is made to go, okay, we're going to eat the people now because we're starving. Still at that point, people are going, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure about this. Like, this is just, you know, is there nothing else we can do?
Yeah.
So like, did he not think like, you know, like, I probably shouldn't eat that live cat. You know, it's probably not sort of the right thing to do.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I think that mental health's a really scary thing, and I think that because he's obviously been starving his whole life, he probably loses all concept of what is okay to eat and what isn't, because anything is just seen as food. Anything that can be food will be food because he's starving.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, particularly with the child as well. I mean, if it was him, I mean, there's got to be a trigger there. You know, if poor guy starving all the time, you know, that's really sad. Wanted food.
Yeah.
Murdering guy who eats animals and children. Not so much sympathy there, to be honest. So I don't. It's another episode where I think I'm going to have to go and look further into it, because it just doesn't, it's all just mad, isn't it? Like,
yeah, you know, yeah.
It's an interesting case.
So yeah, so that's the story of Tarar. And I hope you understand that as soon as I saw that, I thought, I've got to do a pod on that. This is just fucking weird mental story, but
the dangers of food.
Yeah.
Or the dangers of starving.
Dangers of someone that's hungry. I thought it was brilliant. I thought, yeah, I've read so much shite on Facebook, but this is actually quite interesting.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. Yeah. Very tragic. I do feel a bit sorry for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know,
I think awful. I know what you're saying about not having sympathy if he's killed a baby and stuff, but I don't think it's not him being bad that's made him do that. I think, like I said, it's just mental torture over years. It's just driven him to think, I need to eat, and that can be considered as food.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he's probably got to a stage where he's lost, kind of, like...
It's difficult to put it into context, right? Because you view it from the medical advances of today, right? And society is today, I suppose.
Yeah.
So if you look at that from this perspective, you're kind of going, well, that is messed up. Obviously, like, things back then were so different, so far, you can't even imagine how different they were.
Yeah.
You know, that's how so far removed it is. Even though it was only 200 years ago, it's so far removed. Like, if you went back in time, you probably would, you would struggle to survive in that world.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the different perspectives is kind of interesting. Like, when you're saying, like, he got kicked out of the hospital, that just wouldn't happen. Like,
no.
You know, so, like, yeah, it's difficult to kind of put your mind in that time and go through, and particularly go through the experiences that he was going through. And I'm sure if it happened today, there would be some medical explanation for it.
Yeah.
I think you'd hope so. But at that time, it was just some dude who everyone just went, you stink and you're fat and you eat loads. So, you know, just don't go anywhere near me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, yeah, that's strange.
It's grim, yeah. Like you said, I mean, today he probably stank because of the shit he ate, whereas today they would just give him massive high vitamin protein drinks and stuff like that. And
yeah, there'd be like ways of
making him vitamins.
His brain feel like he's,
yeah.
Very sad, yeah.
Anyway. So that was the story of Tarar. I don't know if the listeners are interested, but I have actually found there's a French movie about the Medusa. I'm trying to find a way of getting it. And there's also a BBC 45-minute BBC. You know when they kind of do a movie for the radio?
I quite like those. They're all right.
So there's a 45-minute BBC radio movie of the Medusa as well. Yeah.
Oh, don't tell them that. That's what I ripped all my material off.
Is it?
No, it's not. No, it probably does it more justice than I ever could.
Yeah, so I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but some of the Aliens ones that I've listened to are those kind of live, you know, where it's like actors and sound effects and stuff like that. And
is that what it's like? Is it the BBC one?
Yeah, so it's, you know, there's so like
performance.
The sound of the ocean and people moaning and stuff like that.
All right. Well, I'll dig that out. Everyone else should. Yeah. Do you want to do the socials and stuff?
Yeah. So as usual, we always ask you to like us, follow us, subscribe, tell your friends, follow us on. We're on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Always under The Most Dangerous Podcast.
Yeah. Check us out. Drop a comment. Yeah. Drop us an email.
Absolutely. But we need to spread the word. If you listen to one of our shows and you like it, share it on your Facebook page. Tell your friends to listen to it as well.
All good. All right. Okay. I think that's us. We done?
Yeah, so that's been the most dangerous podcast. Ta-ra, the man that would eat anything.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James.
Ta-ra.
Ta-ra. See you soon. Bye-bye.